Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep that positive attitude. Don't lose hope. Let's build on yesterday's win.
That's right.
Turning
and that cheery
around.
Song.
Yeah.
That song's enough to get you going.
That's right.
Right? Throwing strikes, hitting home runs. We're in a baseball kind of mood.
We are, and we are sitting out in front of Target Field on the plaza. What a far cry from the last time we were here, when we were ankle deep in water.
It was quite wet. Very moist day.
I was afraid we were all going to be electrocuted.
And there was a rain delay for the game that night.
Yep.
It was brutal. But today is spectacular. I believe it's a top 10 weather day, but I should ask you that.
It's a 50 SPF sunscreen.
Love it.
Evening. Yeah, it's perfect out here right
so
now.
So Paul and I are here broadcasting our show from 3 to 6. Then we finally got the golden ticket. Somebody in management invited us into the suite, and many of our listeners are coming with us. So we're going to watch the game with some of our listeners who've won tickets during our show.
Looking forward to this. Playing the Orioles this evening. Oh, by the way, we're going to be covering the Twins during the entire show. Mike Max at 4:50. Thad Levine, general manager of the Twins, joins us at 5:20 to talk about Miguel Sano, Byron Buxton, Irvin Santana. How are they doing?
And Aaron
when
Slager,
are they coming
of
back?
Course.
And of course,
to talk about Aaron Slager.
We're kicking off the show with Aaron Slager, who had a magnificent debut, his first Major League Baseball game yesterday, and it was a doozy.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Well, congratulations on your win last night.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was a fun way to kick off the long homestand.
Fantastic. So, look, it's not been so fun for us fans lately, but thank you for the big win last night. And how are you guys getting yourself out of this? How's the positivity coming back?
Yeah, it's really just starting with that positivity in the clubhouse. Guys are working hard this afternoon, preparing for the game tonight. And, just overall that positive energy and try to keep the train rolling through this homestand.
So how did it feel, win number one in the majors? I mean, what is that like, Aaron?
It was pretty surreal, really. I mean, me and Bobby Wilson were working well together from the beginning. We worked well together down in AAA to start the year when Bobby was down there earlier. And so we had kind of a camaraderie going beforehand, and we had a plan, and we executed that. And when it works out for a win, that's pretty awesome.
We heard your family was in town, too.
Yeah, that's right. I have family all over the state. My mom was born in Hinckley. My grandparents still live there. I have aunts and uncles in Forest Lake and as well as the city, so all up and down Minnesota.
Now, Aaron, are you a Hoosier? I know you went to University of Indiana Bloomington, right? But were you born in Indiana?
No, I was actually born out west. Grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. But I did go to IU for college. I'm a Hoosier through and through, cream and crimson.
Okay. And how's the transition to Minnesota going? I mean, a little bit of a learning curve there. I mean, we're sort of like Indiana with a few more lakes.
Yeah, no, I love the Midwest. And even when I was at Indiana, the Big Ten tournament my junior year and my last year there was at Target Field. So I was actually on the mound here in the stadium before my Major League debut.
So take us into tonight, Aaron, obviously coming off a big win, in particular for you, your first win. So what do we expect to see tonight?
Yeah, tonight Lance Lynn is going to go attack him. And the hitters are really working hard, and I think we're just going to pick up where we left off last night.
So, Aaron, what has to happen? There's been a lot of disappointment. It has not been rainbows and unicorns for Twins fans the past couple of weeks. But What do you think has to happen to turn things around and still salvage a great season for the Minnesota Twins?
You know, you can't panic, in my opinion. You just got to keep going out there, working hard every day. And we talked about the positivity before, and just keep that mindset and just come to the ballpark every single day willing to work. And you have to believe that it'll all work out, and keep trying your best till the very end each and every day.
Well, we love that positive attitude.
Yep.
Thanks for the win last night, and we'll see you at the ballpark tonight.
Great. Yeah. Look forward to seeing everyone out.
Thanks, Aaron. Congratulations.
Aaron Slagers. Yeah, we're also going to talk to Thad Levine. That's coming up at 5:20. Ask him maybe some of those morale questions, as well as what we're looking down the nose of tonight. It's 3:15. Have you seen any of the movies, the summer movies that are out?
I have not.
Really?
But I'm anxious.
You should get out more.
I need to get out more.
I didn't see Jurassic World, mostly because you weren't in this one. None of your graphics were in it, or, you know, you weren't involved at all, so I'm kind of boycotting.
I just got a check for Twister.
Nice. How much?
It was like $32.
Nice.
Like when they play reruns in Czechoslovakia, yeah. I get a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a penny.
Yes, I love it.
But
hey, $32 is $32, buddy.
But my all-time favorite is when they sent me a check for 1 cent.
You know what? You'll take it.
I framed it. It's God's way of reminding you are not a big deal.
Well, you are a big deal, and we're loving our fans that are coming out and visiting with our promotions assistants, Paul and Jordana, here out at the game. Come and visit us. We're here on the plaza. When we get back, I asked about the movies because Tim Lammers is going to be joining us. He's our movie reviewer. We're going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp and what's being released on video. We'll be back right after the break on CCO.
I just have one question. When Cap needed help, if I'd asked you, would you have come?
I guess we'll never know. But if you had, you'd have never been caught.
Hold on. You gave her wings?
And blasters.
So I take it you didn't have that tech available for me?
No, I did.
I can't wait to see it. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Jordana and Paul. I think we need new nicknames, by the way. Something way cooler, like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'd be okay with the Wasp.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to think of way cooler nicknames.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to see this with the kids this weekend. Joining us now is Tim Lammers, as he does every Friday. His movie review is brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim, did you love it?
You know what, Jordana? I was a little worried after being underwhelmed by the Avengers Infinity War, and I did love it.
Ah, yay!
Did you? Okay.
Yes, you have a lot to look forward to this weekend at the theater, Jordana. And Paul, get to it if you can. Look, Avengers Infinity War, they had so many characters and the plot going in so many different directions.
Oh, boy.
Right.
You know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, they contain it to, you know, 4, 5, 6 characters. For the most part, you got 2 main superheroes, you got 1 main villain, you have Ant-Man played by the always entertaining Paul Rudd. Evangeline Lilly is a butt kicker as the Wasp. And I love the film. It's just fun and light. As you know, the Avengers Infinity War got pretty grim, so this is a nice respite from the overall storyline of the Marvel Universe, because all these characters contribute to one big story, and to me, this is just a nice breath of fresh air before they really get into the heavy stuff of the next Avengers movie next year.
Hey, Tim, is this something you can take grandma to, or maybe, you know, kids under the age of 13? I mean, is it appropriate?
Yeah, you know, it always varies with these films. I mean, Avengers, you know, that attracted a younger crowd too. You know, Deadpool was an R movie, so you had to keep them away. Here, yes, I think this is probably about the most family-friendly superhero movie that you'll get. It's just, again, the tone is light. Yeah, there's a lot of action, violence, that sort of stuff, which you really come to expect. But, you know, most of us realize that, you know, this is just make-believe anyway. So, you know, nothing too realistic. So, yeah, I think it's a very family-friendly superhero film. And again, we're getting farther away from those now because, again, with the Avengers film, some of those superheroes didn't make it to the end of the movie.
So, no spoilers, but you're right. No, some of my children are still scarred from that.
I still want people to see the movie, even though I didn't like it as much as others did. You have to see it to keep in the loop with the big story.
Right, right. All right. Yeah. You got something else coming to video. Oh, this one is called A Quiet Place, yet there is a sound for the trailer. Let's hear a little bit, Sue.
They're fighting a massive invasion.
We have to protect them. Promise me.
I promise.
Oh, boy. There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. Oh,
I'm not taking grandma out of this one.
You're not taking grandma. No, this one is so intense from the beginning until the end. This just came out a few months ago, but I had to review it on video. It's streaming now. You get it on Blu-ray and DVD next week. But again, it's based on this whole premise of these aliens invading Earth. They are blind, but they are hypersensitive to sound. And if they hear sound, they will get you. This thing is amazingly intense from beginning to end. Only has a couple lines of dialogue because, again, you can't talk or they're going to get you. I love the picture. It's a real thrill ride. Again, very intense, but it does get a little gorier towards the end because the creatures are eventually revealed. Just a fun movie experience.
Now, Tim, when you say it's out on video, is it also on demand if you have a cable subscription or satellite?
Different providers have different ways of going about it. When I say streaming, I'm thinking more of, the Amazons and maybe the pay-per-view.
Right.
They generally like to get the people that are real hardcore early. And then there are people like me, the sort of people that like albums still and don't like downloading stuff. They actually have the hands on the Blu-ray. Those seem to come out a little bit later, generally a week or so. But, if you can't get it on streaming, on any sort of downloaded, a service like that, it's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD next week.
Tim, do you still have a turntable?
I do, and I do play my scratchy records, yes. I hear that vinyl is making a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
What I run into more and more people who say that you just get a different sound. I mean, that MP3 is kind of tinny unless you have the full resolution, and most people don't have the full resolution downloads. But I know we're getting off track here.
Could we get back to the film? I have questions.
There's a lot of charm with that, much in the same way that I own 16mm films, and there's nothing like hearing the clickety-clack of that projector when it's playing, and looking at, basically short versions of classic monster movies I love or stuff like that. I mean, so it's a big nostalgia thing. I don't mind hearing the pops and the occasional skip because it brings back such wonderful memories when I discovered those songs originally.
You get a warmth and a richness in analog with vinyl that you just do not get with MP3.
That's fodder for another day. Yeah, one
boy, you guys.
Paul, I need to know the one check. What film was that for?
That was for Twister.
All right.
Don't you remember his line? Hey, Bryce, you got to take a look at this.
Yeah. Hey, Bryce, you better come here and take a look at this.
Yeah, we have
just
that.
As the F5 is spinning up The director wanted me to do it 9 times before he was finally grudgingly satisfied and said, all right, it's good enough. Don't quit your day job.
And that one check reminds you of that every
time. That's right.
That's right. Yep. Got to stay humble.
There's no Oscars sitting on his desk at work.
Sadly.
Don't worry, Tim.
My film career was very brief.
But at least you had one. I haven't been in a film. So,
that's
right.
Tim Lammers, always great to hear you. Thanks for bringing us these films today.
That's right. Tim Lammers.
Have a great weekend.
You too, sir. Thank you. Always a hoot. Tim Lammers movie review brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryan Personal Injury Attorneys. Seeking justice for the injured, find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And by the way, I think I have our nicknames.
Oh, it's not Ant-Man and the Wasp?
No, it's Doppler Douglas and Jordamit.
I like it.
Sure, damn it.
Damn it. I like it.
Sure, damn it.
I'll take it. I like Hurricane Jordana better. Doppler Douglas.
You
Hurricane
are a Category
Jordana.
5, girl.
That's right. That's right. I like it. All right. Well, you know what? If you have good nicknames for us, ones we can read
clean
on the
ones,
air,
yeah.
You'll have to tell Susan. You'll have to call in and tell Susan or tell us on the air because we don't have the text line today. So if you're sending us texts, I'm so sorry. Not available, but you can always give us a call. Chime in at 651-989-9226. We're going to take a quick break for news, and when we get back, Bill Blazer is going to join us. He is a Senior Vice President of Public Affairs at the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Now, the United States Chamber of Commerce, yes, there is one, have come out against the Trump administration trade tariffs. We're going to find out why and hear what they have to say after the break on CCO. Sue, can you turn that down? That's pretty loud. Ooh, that's loud. Thank
Sorry,
you,
Sorry, kind of busy over here.
Okay.
All right. The United States Chamber of Commerce has a long, rich history of supporting mainly the GOP over the years. And they came out with something on their website that made me do a double take. Here is what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce had to say. Millions of U.S. jobs depend on America's ability to trade with other countries. Half of all U.S. manufacturing jobs depend on exports. And 1 in 3 acres of American farmland planted for international sales. But recent and proposed trade actions by the Trump administration threaten as many as 2.6 million American jobs and will stymie our economic resurgence. Imposing tariffs on imported goods will hit American consumers and businesses, including manufacturers, farmers, ranchers, technology companies, with higher costs on commonly used products and materials. And then they add, simply put, tariffs are a tax on American consumers and businesses. Tariffs are the wrong approach to address unfair trade practices. And they add 788,600 Minnesota jobs are supported by global trade. This from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry also chimed in about these trade tariffs. The ministry spokesman name is Liu Kang, and here's what he had to say.
As long as the United States issues a so-called tariff list, China will take necessary measures to firmly protect its legitimate interests.
So, the Chamber of Commerce in the U.S. doesn't like it. The Chinese don't like it. Joining us now to maybe find out who benefits and who is harmed most is Bill Blazer. He's the Senior VP of Public Affairs for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jordana. Good afternoon.
You got it. So is it only the administration who wants these tariffs?
Well, you know, in Minnesota, I hate to say this, it's complicated because if you drive a couple hundred miles north of the Twin Cities, you get to our iron range. Those jobs, you know, depend on the price of steel, not just the price of steel in the U.S., but the worldwide price of steel. And for those, you know, 5,000 workers to keep bringing home a paycheck, we need a fair trade system. Now, I don't think a trade war, the Minnesota Chamber doesn't think a trade war is the way to solve that problem. Witness the statistics that the U.S. Chamber released this week. Mm-hmm. But in Minnesota, we truly do have a problem because we've got this major industry that is being negatively affected by trade practices in other countries like China. But we also have soybean farmers and manufacturers, you know, like Polaris Industries, who are all, you know, they're trying to figure out what their next move is because they're going to pay, you know, more for steel and more for aluminum. And so it's a very complicated issue and a very consequential issue for a state like Minnesota.
Bill, you're aware of President Xi Jinping of China. He basically said, get ready for a full-bore trade war. There's a Brookings Institution scholar by the name of David Dollar. I love that name. Mr. Mm-hmm. Dollar was the U.S. Treasury's top official in Beijing during the Obama administration. He thinks the fight is going to stretch into next year because a strong economy will make it less likely that the U.S. feels any immediate economic pressure from the trade fight. Is this a case of the first country that blinks loses?
Actually, I think it's, you know, we need to find an adult in the room. Somebody needs to take a deep breath and realize that firing kind of one volley after another is going to be a negative consequence to the U.S. economy, Minnesota in particular, and the countries involved in the trade war. And the reality is there are other ways to resolve these issues than by, you know, everybody one-upping each other on tariffs. And a state like Minnesota, I mean, we get hit. Our taconite industry needs help, but our soybean farmers, you know, China is their major export market. Or
right.
Think about our relationship with Canada. Canada's our number one trading partner, and now we got a trade war with Canada. And same thing, Mexico is our number two trading partner. We're going to have a trade war there. China's number three. This strategy is nothing but bad news for Minnesota.
Well, Bill, could we look long term? I hear what you're saying, that it's bad news. You're not alone in that camp. But could this be a strategy of a little bit of pain in the short term will right the markets, and then in the long term, the farmers will be benefiting? I'm just trying to look at all sides
here.
No.
I think that's a fair comment. And, you know, we really won't know for several months to see if the administration has plotted out its second, third, and fourth move. We know their first move is to impose the tariffs. But what comes after that, we really don't know. And my point is that this is a high strategy, especially so when there are other tools available for dealing with our steel industry so that it gets a fair shake worldwide without putting at risk our manufacturers and, you know, and our farmers.
Well, tell me about that. What you said, there's another strategy. What would that look like?
Well, for example, we could redouble our efforts on various trade negotiations. The NAFTA agreement is kind of in limbo. That's a great opportunity to the extent that we have trade issues with Canada and Mexico to resolve those. We could redouble the effort with China to resolve issues of intellectual property and also work through the steel pricing issues that we have with countries like China and South Korea. Mm-hmm. There are
so more diplomacy.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think it could be more aggressive diplomacy, mm-hmm. Without going to the extent of a one volley of trade tariffs after another.
Bill, and, hang on one second. We have some sound from Pauline Long. She is managing director at Asia Analytica, and here is what Pauline had to say.
I think there has been far too much focus just on the dollars and cents, the trade aspect. I think there's now growing American perceptions of China, not just as a rules-bending competitor in trade and commerce, but as an all-round threat, not just in trade and business, but in political domination, in military aspects, in technology. Suddenly, there's a perception of China being a real huge threat.
Is that the case, do you think? Is it more just optics, or are they a real threat and we're just calling them out on it now?
Well, I think there are a lot of things going on in the U.S. relationship with China, or actually the relationship between China and the rest of the world. You look at Chinese investment, for example, in Africa, or the efforts in the South China Sea and the territorial disputes. So there's a lot going on between our country and other countries and China, and it may be that this battle over trade just becomes the focal point of all of these disputes. That would be unfortunate because that would really complicate efforts to resolve the trade issues. And I'm not privy to the strategy of the Trump administration. And I go back to what I said a couple minutes ago, which is, you know, we've seen the first move, which is to impose these tariffs.
predictably, the Chinese and the Canadians and the Europeans have all responded as we thought they would. The big question is, so what is this administration doing next, and what can they do next to reestablish the confidence of the Minnesota soybean farmer, the Minnesota manufacturer, the Minnesota steelworker, while still pursuing, you know, a strategy to resolve trade issues? And I just hope and pray there's something to it more than tariffs.
Bill, two questions. Has any country ever won a trade war? Have tariffs worked in the past? And number two, some economists are concerned that this could tip us into recession, the economy doing well, more jobs than expected, added, over 200,000 new jobs. That report came out this morning. So the economy is humming along. But a lot of economists, the smartest people in the room, seem to think that left unchecked, if this does spill over into 2019, that this could tip us into recession. Do you think that's hype, or is there any reality to that?
You know, Paul, on your first question, I'm not enough of an economic historian to know if trade wars have ever worked. But isn't there a proverb about, you know, if you seek revenge, you should dig two graves? There may be some truth
okay.
in that notion here, but yep. Again, I'm not an economic historian, so you ask somebody else. On your what was your second question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, about recession. I mean, the economy's doing quite well today.
Yeah, the economy's doing quite well, but if you notice earlier when the Federal Reserve met last month, you know, they hiked interest rates a little bit more. So we know we've got interest rates going up. That's going to affect investment and expansion plans of businesses. Now, put on top of that, these complications regarding international trade. And I think that does give people pause and wonder if we're not going to put, you know, cold water on an otherwise a strong economy, if the economy can bear the weight that a trade war will bring. That I think is a great question, and it's one that I hope the Trump administration has been thinking long and hard about.
It's been a triple whammy for soybean farmers. I mean,
you've
got the tariffs, you've got flooded fields across much of southern Minnesota, and then you had low prices to begin with. So it's kind of the worst of all worlds, especially for bean farmers right now.
Exactly. Plus, you had, if my memory's right, the Chinese, for example, have alternatives to buy soybeans, for example, in South America. And I think they've found those markets to be pretty friendly right now. So you're right. Triple whammy is probably the way to say it.
Oh, man.
Bill Blazer is the Senior VP of Public Affairs for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I'm sure we'll certainly watch this story, and we'll chat with you again, Bill. Thanks for the time and the expertise today,
thank
sir.
You, Bill.
Yep, thanks, Jordana.
Paul and Jordana from Target Field getting amped up for tonight's Twins-Orioles game. Happy to be hanging out with some Twins fans in a suite this evening.
Mm-hmm.
We've been upgraded.
And there's some momentum. We're coming off a win, so thank you, sir. May I have another?
Rocket Man is one of my favorite Elton John tunes. I don't know if the president got permission from Elton John. Listen to this. According to the Korean media, President Trump recently asked Kim Jong-un, whom he's called Rocket Man in the past, if he knows the Elton John song Rocket Man. And Kim said no. So Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, is taking Kim Jong-un a CD of Rocket Man, which the president has autographed.
That's fake news.
You cannot make this stuff up.
Isn't that supposed to be a negative thing? He was calling him Little Rocket
Man
fun of him.
It was derogatory, but maybe Kim Jong-un is wearing it as a badge of honor. You know, hey, Rocket Man's a pretty good nickname.
It is a good nickname.
You could have worse nicknames.
I guess.
Right?
Yeah, I guess we're playing nicey-nice now. It was mean and bullying
before.
Well,
the president's trying to make lemonade out of lemons, right? Maybe this came up during the summit.
You know, you called me Rocket Man? Well, yes, it was a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, please.
It was a compliment.
Can't even spin that. It was Little Rocket Man, I believe.
Little
Rocket Man. Boy, it's the show of nicknames. It really is, because we started off with Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I think we should rename our show, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
But again, the president has a long, rich history of using nicknames.
Low-energy
right. Jeb Bush, right?
So that's a terrible nickname, by the way.
Low energy, the fact that I remembered it, and I don't remember anything.
He used to call, what was it?
Marco
Lion
Rubio.
Hillary.
Well, Lion Hillary, right.
Yeah, Little Marco.
Little Marco. Right.
And what was it? Lion Ted Cruz. There was a lot of Lion.
A lot of Lion
Ted
on.
Cruz.
Yeah.
But this, I think we need better nicknames. I think people should call in and give us nicknames. We're here with Big Daddy. Big Daddy is our studio coordinator here out at the Kevin Reed. That's his nickname. J-Lo, another one of our studio coordinators. His name is Jonathan Lowe. We all call him J-Lo.
Yeah,
right?
we need better nicknames. So, I like Jordamit.
Yeah, well, that's sort of a slur.
No, it's not. It's like Jordana with an exclamation point.
What were you, Doppler Dan?
Doppler Douglas.
Oh, Doppler Douglas. Ah, I think I might be able to go for that. But maybe we'll have to have some kind of a contest. Next time we get in the suite, the best nickname. The one that gives us a nickname.
The late, great Nick Coleman. You remember the columnist, Nick Coleman?
Okay.
When I got here back in the 80s, he called me Weather Boy.
Oh, I don't know if that's so positive.
Well, I was 25.
Yeah.
And I looked like I was 18. Nobody's called me Weather Boy in 20, 30 years. I miss that.
Just
I miss
a young
those
buck.
Days.
We can bring that back.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, don't hold your breath.
Incorporate that into an open somehow.
I'm happy when there are no obscenities involved.
Weather Boy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have too many nicknames. Yeah. Everybody here started calling me Jor only because that's how my family refers to me. So I started calling myself that on the air. It's just I'm very familiar. So now people in Minnesota call me Jor. I like it. I like a good nickname.
Some call you Jordina.
Well, those are people who don't know how to pronounce my name.
Right.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that's a nickname. That's just they don't know how to say it.
Jor is good.
Or Georgina. Oh, yeah, they butcher it. Trust me, they butcher it.
All right.
Hi, folks. We're waving to the folks out at Target Plaza. No, they're saying hi.
Handsome group.
Come and play over here with our promotions folks. They probably have some giveaways for you. There you go. I'm rounding up some customers. It is a stunningly
beautiful day. The weather's free. All the weather you can consume.
Out on Target Field. So come, you don't even have to have a nickname for us if you come say hi. Even if you're not going to the game, it's so lovely out on the plaza.
George,
just come walk your dog.
People are happy today. They're waving at me with all their fingers.
Yeah, not
maybe
just
they're
one.
Waving at you.
Not just the one. Oh, no. I don't think so.
They're not telling me I'm number one.
There's going, isn't that Weather Boy? And who's that girl next to him?
That's Jordina.
No, they're not telling you you're number one, Paul. That's not how that works.
No?
But it is really beautiful. We hope you're coming to the game because, as we said, there's some momentum from last night. So we're expecting a big old win.
What and a perfect evening to watch baseball.
It is.
Don't have to worry about the humidity or thunderstorms or anything. It's just as good as it gets out here right now.
Handsome husband even whined a little bit. These are major first world problems that we're in the suite. He goes, well, I want to be out. He wants to be out in the stands, you know, because it's going to be such a beautiful
and
night.
If he was out in the stands, he'd want to be in the suite.
In the suite.
Why is it that we always want
first
what we don't have?
First
be
world.
Happy with what you have.
And he can go. He can buy a ticket and go out there. It is a great night for a baseball game. All right, let's tell everybody what we got coming up for the rest of the show. I don't seem to have my show
at 4:10. Daniel Conway, he is a military law attorney, and he's going to talk about this story.
Very disturbing
that is making
story.
The rounds about immigrant recruits, mainly in the Army, being asked to leave.
This is unbelievable because they're challenging their status. They're saying they could become enemies of the state or could become some kind of danger.
Or they need more vetting with their relatives.
So these are people who enlisted in the Army, and the Army said, yep, come on. And they've been in training, and now they're getting the boot.
There is a state of emergency, Jor, for 36 counties in Minnesota, mainly because of flooding. An update on that in weather therapy. And coming up at 5:10, Star Tribune reporter Dee DePass takes us into Denny Hecker's world since he's been released from prison.
She said she hasn't spoken to him. I spoke with her today. She hasn't spoken to him since he got out, but she covered his trial extensively, and
right.
She knows the ins and outs of the trial. And as she was sort of reminding me of what happened back then, I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty sordid. And then she does, of course, have some insight into what may happen to him, what can happen to him. We want Denny to come on the show. We want to know what it was like, what it's like on the outside.
And what comes next?
What comes next? All of that and a whole lot more here from Target Field on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.